Now, last week, we looked at John 4 and the encounter that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. This week, we're jumping ahead to John 9. So in chapters 5 to 8, we see that Jesus did some healing, he fed the 5,000, he walked on water, there was the Feast of the Tabernacles, and there was a lot of division over who Jesus was. Since the start of the book of John, we've seen Jesus making various claims about himself, such as, "I am the bread of life, I am the living water," and following these claims with a miracle. People misunderstand him, which causes controversy, forcing those who encounter Jesus to make a decision about who they think he is. And that's no different from what we see in the passage today. In chapter 8, Jesus claims to be the light of the world, and this is reflected at the start of chapter 9. He then performs a miracle, which sparks big discussion amongst the Pharisees, and people are forced to make a decision as to whether Jesus is a sinner or the Son of God. As Jesus is leaving the temple, he passes a blind man begging. Jesus heals the man, which sparks a controversy, because he's healed on the Sabbath. Can Jesus be from God if he's ignoring what is considered to be God's law? We can assume from the language used that the blind man was probably sitting in a public place where he would have been dependent on other people for help. We can also see that it was assumed by those around him that the blindness was caused either by his own sin or by his parents. That's not to say that that's actually the case, but that's what people of the time assumed. And we can assume that all of this would have had a large emotional impact on the man himself. It's not difficult to imagine how little that he would have thought about himself living in a culture that valued him so little. Now, I can only relate to this guy a little bit. Some of you may or may not know that I need glasses to help me see. I've worn them since I was about 11, and when I was 19, I decided to start wearing contact lenses. As soon as I started wearing them, I could see things differently. My sight was more clear. I could actually see in the rain. I could go swimming and I could see. I could focus when I went trampolining, and I didn't need to worry about playing silly games at youth group and being scared of going home and telling my parents that I'd broken my glasses. I could see. I was given a new lease of life. How much more must this guy who could see nothing have felt a new beginning, a new start in life, now that he could actually see for the first time? I think sometimes when we read the Bible or stories that we did in Sunday school, we forget just how amazing this miracle was. We skim over it and are not really that impressed. But this guy who could see nothing suddenly could see everything. Not only was this miracle amazing, but I want you to kind of consider how this guy would have felt being able to see for the first time by himself. In the other Gospels, when Jesus had healed sight, he has used saliva. However, in those cases, it was applied directly to the eye, whereas here, it was mixed with soil. This baffled me when I first read it, like years ago. I never questioned why Jesus would do that. But then, he was the Son of God. He could do literally anything. Who am I to question his methods? However, reading around in the last few weeks, I've discovered that there is actually a belief that saliva was beneficial for the diseased eye. So Jesus was using accepted medicine or customs of the time, as he tends to do in his parables. Whilst he used these understood means, this isn't what healed the man. And the healing didn't actually happen until the man went to wash in the pool, as Jesus instructed in verse 7. To me, this is saying that Jesus wasn't up for just healing for the sake of it. The man had to trust Jesus and had to have faith when he went to wash in the pool that he would be healed. Jesus had a superior motive for healing the man, and it wasn't just to annoy the Pharisees. It was to lead this blind man who could see nothing to be a man who could see everything, both physically and spiritually. It took an action on the part of Jesus and also an action on the part of the blind man. A leap of faith, if you like. This is true in many areas of our lives. We know that all things are possible with God, and that God doesn't need us to take action, but he wants us to. He wants us both to have faith in him and to be involved in his plans, rather than doing it all by himself. He loves us so much to involve us and for us to be part of his plan. Now, Jesus didn't just use saliva, did he? He used the dirt and the dust from the ground as well, which would have made a clay-like substance. The making of clay was considered work, which was banned on the Sabbath. and therefore the Jews were convinced that Jesus was a sinner because he broke the Sabbath. So that is the controversy that surrounds the miracle. As I mentioned earlier, people are going to have to make a decision about who they think Jesus is based on this controversy. Opinion is divided. Some think that Jesus cannot be from God and therefore must be a sinner because he healed and made clay on the Sabbath, considered work and therefore not permitted and breaking God's law. Others thought that since Jesus had performed such an amazing miracle, he must be from God. The Pharisees cannot believe that the man has been healed because only God could do such a thing, but God could not break his own law. And so the parents of the blind man are brought in to verify their conclusion that the man wasn't actually born blind. The theory was that if the man was born blind, there's not a chance he could be healed. Whereas if the man had become blind later in life, he could potentially be healed. So the Pharisees are hoping it's going to be the latter, which would make things a lot less complicated for them. Jesus isn't God because it's not really a miracle. In verse 22, we are told that the Pharisees had already made up their mind about Jesus. No matter what the evidence might be, he isn't the Messiah. They are therefore intent on discrediting Jesus and any who disagree with them, rather than seeing the truth. They ask the man to retell his story so that he might contradict himself and accuse him of being a false witness. What Jesus does in healing the man is not consistent with the law given by God to Moses. Even though the formerly blind man is a reliable witness, Jesus does not fit into their preconceived ideas. Eventually, they resort to scorning the man, ridiculing him, and throwing him out. Interesting how this man, who has a new, complete faith in Jesus, is so quickly and immediately ridiculed and cast out. The Christian faith we are called to is never going to be easy. Even though we have an amazing gift in Jesus Christ, it comes with inevitable earthly challenges. Despite that, the man's faith is strong and unwavering, perhaps an inspiration to us today. The man's own knowledge of Jesus comes from personal experience, and he had no comment to make over how the miracle was done, but he was very firm in acknowledging his restored sight. This much was obvious to him. The opponents were baffled by the fact of the healing and instead turned to the method used. Their mention of being disciples of Moses highlights the superior place given to Moses in their thoughts than for Jesus, with a refusal to consider the true origin of Jesus. The healed man's clear observation was that his sight had been restored. He suggested that God only hears those who do his will, not sinners. Therefore, the healer could not be a sinner. There was no way a mere man could open the eyes of a man blind from birth. Therefore, the healer must have been from God. The Jews ejected the man because there was no way they could argue with him. They had no argument against him, even though they didn't like what he was saying. Perhaps that's a picture of what is to come with Jesus at the cross. It's interesting to see the journey the blind man is on. In verse 11, he describes Jesus as the man. In verse 17, Jesus is described as a prophet sent by God. Finally, in verse 38, the man believes that Jesus is divine and worships him. As a man has been called to repeat on his story, his understanding of what has happened to him and who Jesus is seems to grow to the point where he's able to confess that Jesus is divine. The last section of this passage focuses on the man's declaration of faith. As soon as Jesus said he was the Son of Man, the healed man at once believed. This suggests that he already had the seeds planted within him. The miracle of giving someone sight, bringing them from darkness to light, shows what Jesus has come to do for the world. People are in darkness because they are alienated from God and live without him, building their identity on someone or on something else. Jesus has come to restore our relationship to God. This is the light that Jesus has come to bring, pictured through the blind man seeing. Over the last few months, I've been challenged to never give up praying for people, even when we are praying for what might seem impossible. I felt this particularly when thinking or praying about my brother. I am one of four children, and myself and my sisters are all Christians. My brother, however, isn't, and that really saddens me because I love him so much. He was brought up coming to church with the rest of us, but due to various reasons, mostly sport related, he stopped coming. When I look at my brother, I've often given up hope. I see his lifestyles and some of the choices that he's made. And I think, God, you can do all things, but he is just a little bit too much for you. This passage, however, encourages me to keep on praying, to trust God that he can make change in my brother's life. He has all the head knowledge. He has the seeds planted within him. And I'm just praying for a heart transformation. For a moment when it all makes sense and my brother's eyes are opened for the first time to see the glory of God. Similarly, over the last few weeks, we've been encouraged to pray for our friends and our family who don't know Jesus. We've done this by writing their names on a paper chain that the children fastened together. We've done it by writing their names on the tree at the back last week. And my challenge this week for you is to think how you can share the light of Jesus with someone who doesn't know who God is, even if you think it's impossible for God to bring them to him. Can I just remind you that we have seen Jesus heal a man who was born blind? Let us have the faith enough to trust God to work through us, to bring healing to our world. The notion of sight is used in different ways in this passage. The blind man received both physical and spiritual sight. The Pharisees possessed natural sight and thought that they possessed spiritual sight, but their reaction to Jesus showed that really they were still blind. My question to you is, how is your eyesight? Are you blind like the man, but wanting to see for the first time? Or are you living a life where you think you see, but actually you're spiritually blind?